My name is Walter Jameson. I was born and raised here in Greensboro back in 1958.
And I'm Liz Seymour, and Walter is a really talented artist. And
so they say.
Walter's a really talented artist. And so we met over that, and then kind of just started talking, and we've talked about a lot, Walter growing up as a Black man in the South, and me growing up in privileged North white middle class college educated. It's just even now our experience of walking down the street is different. And walking into a store is different.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing that you can read in a book, but it. Having somebody be willing to share his experience with me has taught me a lot.
Now I know on Elm Street, Greensboro, that was Woolworths on one side and all the movie theater, the Center Theater, and I think it was Crest Store.
Oh, I think that's on the same side as Woolworths. Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to remember these things, but there were stores on the right side, on the left side, stores on the right side, which was Woolworth. And during those days, you know, when mom would come to us and say, hey, you know, we're going to Woolworths, you know, I'm like, well, you know, that was an exciting time, you know, Woolworths, I mean. Because Black folks were allowed to shop downstairs. You know, we could come upstairs and order food, you know, at the counter, but we wasn't able to eat there. So we would order our food and go or, you know, eat it somewhere else.
Even after the sit-ins?
No, this was before the city.
Oh.
Before the, yeah. As soon as you open the door, you can smell the peanuts and popcorn and chips and cookies and everything. You know? And, I think about it now, I can still smell it, you know. It's, I don't know, a psychological thing, but, you know, if I close my eyes and I walk into Woolworths, you know, it's like the smell, the sounds and everything are there. It was the best of times, you know, and it was the worst of times, you know. I didn't know much about racism back then, but I knew there was a difference. I knew there was something wrong.
I moved to Greensboro in 1979. Mm-hmm. And when I moved here, downtown was just over. Mm-hmm. Like, all the businesses had moved out. Most of the storefronts were empty. Mm-hmm. South Elm Street was here, but it was like a movie set with no movie. So I don't have any history with Greensboro when the last time downtown had stuff going on in it. But what was South Elm Street itself like when you were a boy? Because I know that there were sort of two Greensboros that I've been told that the railroad bridge on East Market was kind of the entryway from Black Greensboro to White Greensboro, but did you spend any time down in this part of South Elm Street?
Elm Street, a lot. So it was a thrift store. That was, Blumenthal's was a little further down and to the right.
Oh, I remember Blumenthal's.
Yeah.
Do you remember, you know the sign they have that says, like, if you don't get a receipt, you get a carton of cigarettes or something like that. That sign is in the historical museum now.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, another thing, it was like all the white folks would shop on one side and the Black folks on the other side of the street. Another psychological thing, you know. It was just a thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Woolworths was on the right, you know. But when we got to come over to Woolworths, you know, it was great. Or Blumenthal. Because it seemed like everybody did their clothing shopping at Blumenthal.
You know, you talk about the way Woolworths smelled. I remember the way Blumenthal smelled.
Yeah, that jean smell.
That denim smell. Yeah.
And believe it or not, it came just right from up the road, you know, or Cone Mill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is also closed down now. You know, that was huge.
But when you were growing up, was downtown... Did it feel like it belonged to you as much as it belonged to everybody else, or was that kind of like going?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No. We could go. We was allowed to go certain areas, you know, but if we go too far, you know, what are you doing here, you know?
What was the boundary that you remember? Sorry to interrupt.
Well, as far as I can remember was, like I said, as far as Woolworth and back home. Well, actually Sears, because you could go to Sears. And yeah.
So not south at all? Because Woolworth is just barely on South Elm Street.
Yeah.
So no further south. Well, Blumenthal.
Blumenthal, yeah. You know that little red building in the center of the railroad track? Next to the railroad track? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That saloon that's...
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere along in there.
Was where you couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
So you knew that Fordham's was down there, but you also knew you couldn't go. So where would you go for a soda?
Woolworth. Yeah, soda, popcorn, chips. You know, it was great because, you know, even, you know, today you get like a bag of chips, you know. You might have this much air and this many chips, you know. And back then, you know, chips came in a paper sack. This may sound weird, but it was exciting to see a greasy sack. You know, you're walking out saying you're eating greasy chips, but it was okay. You know, this is a big bag of chips and it fills up all the way to the top for maybe a quarter to 75 cents, you know, and it was wonderful.
I wonder if it had to do with stores like Fordham's were locally owned.
Mm-hmm.
Woolworth's was a national chain. I wonder if people felt more comfortable, even though Woolworth's had that history. But I think part of the reasons that the sit-ins were there rather than at Fordham's was because they could have a national impact.
Right, right.
But I wonder if your mother, for instance, felt more comfortable at a place like Woolworth's than a place that was locally owned. And
mm-hmm. You know, my mother was really passive. You know, that's why I blame some of my passiveness. You know, from her, because, you know, she always say, you know, you obey the rules, you know, you do this, that, that. You know, so I can't be mean to the white person, you know. And, you know, like my friends were, you know, they were out, they was like irate, you know, they was able to speak out and say, you know, I hate you, you know, barking back and forth. Whereas me, I'm like, ooh, you know, because mom said, you know, this is bad, you know, I mean, church going folks, you know. Okay, let me be humble. You know, God is listening. You know, I never went to jail for something I thought was right. I always went to jail for what I knew was wrong. You know, that's a big difference right there. You know, I never stood up for righteousness, so to speak. You know.
Well, you have, but you just haven't gone to jail for it.
Right. Exactly. You know, but. But I have went to jail for things I've done wrong and knew they were wrong.
So can I ask, like, what you went to jail for in Greensboro?
That was a lot of fights, you know, stealing.
Was this when you were in high school? Like,
nah, I'd say before high school, maybe early parts of junior high.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Didn't stay much in jail, but maybe a day or mm-hmm. half a day, you know. I cry my eyes out until mom come and get me, you know. But anyway, I should leave you in there. No.
I'm kind of attracted to the idea of historical markers of essentially what wasn't there. Like, that invisible line that was never drawn.
Ah, yeah.
That was never... wasn't painted in the street, but that everybody knew was there, and that now young people won't know that that invisible line was there because it's never been memorialized.
Right, right.
And you know, the majority of Americans were born after the Civil Rights Movement.
Mm-hmm.
So your experience is growing more and more unique. Mm-hmm. And places like... places where there was a sit-in do get memorialized, but places where people were just leading their daily lives following the rules that everybody acknowledged and nobody, but were never written down anywhere.
Right.
I think those need to be memorialized also.